ISU leaders are firming up plans for the August reopening, including on-campus testing options, but things are still very fluid.
This afternoon, something could change. Tomorrow, something could change.
That's ISU President Larry Dietz. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, July 10th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the latest on ISU's reopening plan. Charlie Schlenker has more.
Illinois State University is confirming a lot of plans for a pandemic-related fall class schedule, but in a news conference, University President Larry Dietz said things are still pretty fluid.
This afternoon, something could change. Tomorrow, something could change. We literally have had instances where we met in the morning, thought we had an idea about what to do in a particular area, and something came out the afternoon from the governor, from the CDC.
There will be no triple or quadruple occupancy dorm rooms. There will be a mix of online and in-person classes. The university is still doing a classroom inventory and matching it with class sizes to figure out how much it will have to offer online. There will be some on-campus testing, but how much isn't certain. Dietz says he hopes a program the U of I is test driving could help.
And they're hopeful that the system that they have, which can test up to 10,000 people a day, a maximum at a cost of about $2 a test, and right now our cost for a test is about $100 per test, and we can only test about 150 people on the site here.
Oh yes, there will be football. The Ivy League has canceled sports there. Reporters asked Dietz why take the risk when athletics is not central to the core academic mission of the university.
Like other institutions in our conference and across the country, we're waiting for more guidance from the NCAA. There's also different conferences that we're a part of. The big one for us is the Missouri Valley Conference, but some of our sports are in other conference areas that are also have teams in other states. And so not only is it an Illinois issue, but it's a multi-state issue.
Some faculty at ISU have criticized the administration for counting administrators as faculty in reckoning faculty involvement in pandemic planning. Dietz responded to the critique.
When we become administrators, we don't lose our faculty concern. We don't lose our faculty title. We may have gained another title, but I'm still a faculty member myself.
Dietz says ISU is doing more to get faculty input. He says there are groups of faculty who feel passionately about teaching in person and faculty who are equally passionate that safety requires online courses. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. There were 9 new cases of the coronavirus and a 15th death reported yesterday in McLean County. Also, the local testing positivity rate is on the rise, climbing up to 2.6%. It's about even with the statewide average. Local government and business groups are unhappy with the state's plan for doling out COVID-19 relief money to employers across Illinois. They say decisions they want made at the local level will instead come from the state. And the ISU football game against the Illini won't be happening after all. The Big Ten says it's only doing conference games this coming season because of the pandemic. That means the September 4th matchup in Champaign is off. See more on these stories at WGLT.org. You just heard a bit more about ISU's reopening plans. Even with safety protocols in place, many believe that keeping students, staff, and community members safe is going to be a challenge. Dr. Sheldon Jacobson is a professor of computer science at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. In a new op-ed, he argues that university towns are poised to become the next COVID epicenters. He tells IPR's Mary Dixon that schools need to consider the health of their host communities.
University towns, small and medium-sized, have a very intimate, antagonistic relationship with their town. It's the so-called town-gown divide. And what we've tried to look at and analyze is that as the schools, after spring break, ask their students not to come back, they spared these communities from COVID-19 surges. Well, these schools are now bringing their students back. And as a result of that, the people who live in the communities are very, very vulnerable to high infection rates. And that's the concern that I saw and what I wrote about in the op-ed, to try and point out that there has to be much more of a community relationship and decision-making process when university towns come back together. If it's done unilaterally, it's a formula for disaster.
You've written that students could overwhelm hospitals and clinics. What do you think these schools and communities need to do to prepare for students' return?
Well, when the students come back, they're in the age group that, although they may get infected, the likelihood of bad outcomes is very, very small. Unfortunately, they use the same public transportation, they eat in the same restaurants, they shop at the same grocery stores, and they will infect the community residents. And that's the challenge, because the students may not even know that they're infected, but the people who they are interacting with in the community, who are in their 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond, they are more likely to have bad outcomes. And that's the concern that has to be addressed before the students come back.
You're in the Urbana-Champaign area. Have you heard from neighbors who are concerned about the return of students?
I've heard both from neighbors as well as from people on campus who are older faculty and staff. I mean, many universities around the country are bringing their students back because of the economics. They cannot survive. In-person education has tremendous value, and you can, in fact, charge a premium for it. So bringing the students back is critical.
We are starting to hear from schools, from administrators, outlining their plans for teaching in person, including the administrators of the University of Illinois. So this is personal for you. Do you think that the measures the U of I are taking, are they going to be enough?
The measures that are being proposed by the University of Illinois, as well as every other university, are very standard. Follow the CDC guidelines. But it misses one important component, and it's not unique to the University of Illinois. It's true of just about every university. They're trying to prevent the students from being infected. And that is, for all intents and purposes, impossible. The students are going to get infected. The key is to protect all the people who are vulnerable, who have a higher risk of a bad outcome. One of the things that I've thought about and proposed is bring the students back, but the vulnerable faculty and staff, have them work remotely. But the real challenge is the community residents. The university has some measure of control over its staff and faculty, but it has very little control over the residents. And that's why openings have to involve mayors, it has to involve town councils, and it has to involve the local healthcare infrastructure. And if it does not do this, it is a formula for disaster at every small and medium-sized university town in this country. And it's not going to be the students who are going to be hurt. It's going to be the residents.
That's Sheldon Jacobson from the University of Illinois, speaking with IPR's Mary Dixon. Before we let you go, Black Lives Matter Bologna is hosting a public meeting at 6 o'clock Sunday night at Miller Park. That's it. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to The Leadoff. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.